This is Kate Harness with 307 Net Radio, and today I'm joined by Steve Esponder, who's Johnson County Assessor. Hello, Steve, how are you?
Good, how are you doing?
I'm well, and thank you for spending some time. What we're going to talk about is property taxes. Everybody, I think, is still in recovery from sticker shock if they pay property tax. Not only did we see an increase last year, but we've seen an increase this current year. And there is a lot of concern, and there's a lot of vocalization of discontent about the amount of our property taxes. But you're at the sharp end here in the assessor's office. You have people who are coming in asking questions about why their property tax is so high, what they can do to minimize that. You know, are there any breaks that they can get? And what we're going to do today is just talk about the common questions and the common concerns that you get every day, and what your response to them is. So, Can you tell us roughly how much most people's property taxes have gone up in the last year, and then the following, and then the next year, the subsequent year?
Well, for tax year 2022, I mean, it went up about 30% across the board. I mean, not everybody's was exactly 30%, but that was the general raise. And then for 2023, a lot of places they went up, you know, 30 to 40% on top of the year before.
So those are significant amounts. Mm-hmm. Even if you're paying tax on fairly low values, those are still fairly significant amounts. And of course, I suppose any conversation really needs to be prefaced by the fact that about 70% of our county revenues actually comes from industry. It's not borne by individuals, but we're talking about that 30% that is borne by individuals. And so, you know, people are looking at some significant leaps. What do you tell them when they come in and complain?
Well, for this year in particular, we had a couple things that happened. In any appraisal, it has to start with replacement cost new. We have to rebuild every house every year in our CAMA system, which is our computer system. Those start with cost tables, which are given to us by the state through a company called Marshall & Swift, who does it for probably most of the insurance companies. I mean, they have cost tables. That's what they do. So typically, those cost tables jump about 5% every 5 years or so, roughly. Okay, so in 2020, when COVID hit, I mean, everybody knew what happened to prices for everything. I mean, not just lumber, but everything. But they went skyrocketed. Our cost tables didn't change. In 21, they didn't change. And I knew that it was coming at some point. You know, so last year, our cost tables changed 20%. So basically, everybody in the state of Wyoming got a 20% raise in their replacement cost new just in one fell swoop.
So could you just take a moment and explain to us about replacement cost new? How does that translate down into an individual's tax bill?
Okay, any appraiser, that you have to find out what the house costs to build.
Okay.
Today's current market.
And it's on that you are taxed?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a replacement cost new. We call it RCN, and then you less depreciation. So it's RCN, LD, less depreciation is the common term.
And so what kind of factors go into that replacement cost new? Obviously, as you've described, there is the cost of the materials and all those other things that go into, you know, make a house that can be lived in. But there's also the property value itself, which is driven by market forces of what the real estate market is actually doing. And I think, you know, it's pretty clear that our real estate market in Johnson County has been very hot and competitive.
Yes.
It might be slowing down somewhat, but there's been not only a shortage of housing, but the prices have gone up significantly too. What does that do to an assessed value, to the property tax bottom line?
Okay, so once we rebuild a house, I mean, they're based on construction costs, so it basically comes down to a square footage type of a rate. We add the decks, we add the garages, we add those kinds of things to a house. We have to make a judgment call on the quality of a house. Quality house is, there's no rhyme or, I mean, it's not etched in stone exactly what an average house is versus a good home. It's appraiser knowledge, and the most important part of that is that we're consistent with what we call things.
How do you ensure any kind of consistency amongst appraisers?
Well, we only have one field crew in our county, so it's pretty easy. We don't have, you know, bigger counties have
So you have the same people going out and making the assessments, and so they have a good idea of what they're looking at compared to everything else.
Correct.
Okay.
You know, one of the important things, I mean, you got two houses right next to each other that are quite similar. You have, if you're not going to call them the same grade, then you have to have a good reason. I mean, you ask yourself that as an appraiser when you're doing it, and then it all works out. I mean, and another thing people have to realize is with mass appraisal, we're not spending a week on a house like an appraiser might. We're doing the whole block in a day.
And so also, your title is Johnson County Assessor. It's not just the cities, and so on. You're responsible for the counties as well. And I think county and city residents are aware that there are different tax brackets for agriculture and so on. How does that work?
Well, the city itself obviously pays a higher mill levy on taxes because they are in the city. They have garbage, they have water, they have sewer, that kind of thing.
So you're paying for increased services?
Yes.
Okay.
When you're out in the county, you don't have those things, but you have to pay for them yourself. You have to drill a well, you have to put a septic in, you have to bring power in. That's expensive. And in today's world, it's way more expensive than it used to be. You know, I don't know what it would cost, but I'm thinking it's probably going to be close to $100,000 for somebody to bring in power, drill a well, and, I mean, depending on how deep they have to go. But, you know, you buy a property and those properties are now for $200,000 or $300,000 for practically anything that you buy outside the city. I mean, 5 acres to 35 acres, I mean, they're crazy. Mm-hmm. Prices are, then you have to throw that much money back into it. So before you even start to build a house, you might have $500,000 into your property. And so
going back to the individual who's opened up their envelope with their property tax bill in it, what are people coming to you and saying, and what are you able to, what are the common misconceptions that they have? Because you get a fairly detailed breakdown. Mm-hmm. What are people saying?
Generally, the first thing a lot of people will say is, you know, what is my house being compared to? Okay, in fee appraisal, you use comparable sales. So you look at, if you have a three-bedroom, two-bath home, you're going to try to find another three-bedroom, two-bath home that just sold. And, you know, I mean, you're going to try to compare, you try to find the exact house next door that just sold. I mean, that's the, but mass appraisal is not like that. We use sales ratio. Sales ratio is our appraised value divided by a sale price. So if we have a house valued at $100,000 and it sells for $150,000, we're at 0.66. That's the sales ratio. Okay. State Board of Equalization and Department of Revenue require us to be at 0.95 minimum.
What is the State Board of Equalization? I've heard that terms that about that body several times. What does it actually do?
The State Board of Equalization is the board that certifies our values. We have to have our values certified before the treasurer and the commissioners can set mill levies before we can get paid, I mean, legally. That's their job. They're also, if there's a actual appeal that goes to a hearing, it goes to the County Board of Equalization, which is the commissioners. If whoever wins or loses that wants to appeal that, they appeal it to the State Board of Equalization. So
okay. Thank you for explaining who they are. Right.
And they're made up of, they're pretty much, I think there's three of them, and they're all ex-lawyers, or they're not practicing lawyers, but they're lawyers. Generally, they know law, they know tax law.
Okay.
They also know enough about appraisal that, you know, they know where we're coming from. They pretty much are, I call up my report card that I get from them, and I actually have my abstract hearing today at 1:30 with them.
And you'll find out how well they think you did.
Yeah.
Do you, obviously, the amount of the appraisal is absolutely key and fundamental to how the whole system works, because that sets the amounts for which you can then apply the tax values.
Okay, so, yeah, I mean, everything that we do, people will come in back to that question.
Mm-hmm.
First thing I'll tell them is that we're not comparing it. We're comparing sales, all right? So we take the neighborhood, which is basic. For the most part, it's kind of a geographical type thing. It's not necessarily has to be. It could be something else. And
You're looking for parity. You're looking for comparable examples.
You know, Burlington Edition in Buffalo is basically Adams, Burritt, Carrington, and DeSmet, mm-hmm. up until you get to the newer end. That's, you know, that's Burlington Edition. That's a pretty, that's a neighborhood. You know, it's a geographical neighborhood. It's also a time period neighborhood. Most of the houses were built, you know, old, long time ago. And people will come right in and say, my house is 80 years old. It's like, yeah, I know. And the one that's right across the street is 90 years old, and it just sold for $370,000 or whatever.
Okay, so that's interesting. How does the price that, let's say, your neighbor or somebody down the street sells their house, how does that affect that neighborhood's property tax?
Okay, back to the sales ratio. So we have, I mean, last year, 2 years ago, there was 28 sales in Burlington Edition. And so you put all those sales ratios in a list from, you know, lowest to highest, and we take the median. The median value is not the average value. It's the value that's in the middle.
Okay.
Between the lowest and the highest, the actual middle value or the middle sale, that's the one we have to
median
use.
As opposed to mean, if I remember my mathematics correctly.
Yep. So we take the median value. So the median value, I think last year in Burlington, it was 0.8. Okay, we have
0.8 million.
0.8%.
Okay.
80%.
80%. Thank you.
We appraised at 80% of the sales value.
Okay.
On the median. Okay, so we have to take that median value and we have to add an adjustment to the house of a some whatever percent that is to bring that sale up to 95%. Or actually, 95 doesn't quite work because I shoot for 100%, because throughout all the changes and all the things that goes on, if you just make it at 95, you'll never get end up at 95 with your county. So this year I was more or less shooting for closer to, you know, 100%.
Right.
So if it's a 20% adjustment that you have to add to that, you don't add it, you multiply the house value itself by 20%. And then you add the land back into it. If that gets you to that 0.95 or 1.0 sales ratio, then that's the same adjustment that the rest of the neighborhood gets.
So does that mean that if your neighbor sells their house for a very inflated amount, which may happen in a marketplace where there's a lot of demand and people are, they want to move into that property so much that they're prepared to pay above market value, that affects everybody's values around them and therefore drives up property tax.
It does.
It's good for the person who sold their house for a lot of money that they didn't mm-hmm. think that they could have got maybe, but it's bad for everybody else. Is that
two? One sale doesn't make a market, but when we have, you know, a lot of sales, that's what it is. I mean, as long as, and here's another thing, as people don't think about this a lot, they just want to blame everybody that's moving in here for paying these outlandish prices. I always tell people, I mean, it's not any of my business, but it takes two people to make a sale.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, somebody had to sold them that as well. And we go by sales ratios. So the $1 million house does not have any more, it doesn't factor any higher than the $200,000 home. It's just
the buyers and sellers are in a cleft stick, aren't they? Because if you want to, if you've got one house, if you have a nice house in the Burlington Edition, say, as we used that as an example before, and it's a three-bedroom house, but now you need to move somewhere bigger, maybe you have more children or you have your mother-in-law living with you or something like that, and you want to move to a five-bedroom house, you need as much money as you possibly can get out of your smaller property to be able to afford to buy the property, the five-bedroom property, which is bigger and also more expensive.
Yes. Yep, I mean, that's, and I understand why people would sell their property when they're, and if they're going to sell that, buy that five-bedroom home with the market the way it is, they're still going to be paying a lot of money for it. But getting back to the sales ratio, the person from the other state that moved in here, they affected that sales ratio once. The person who sold that property, that was one time that he affected it, and then that person turns around and buys another piece of property for the market, which is high.
So we're talking many domino effects.
Yes.
So, each action has a consequence.
Yeah, the local person actually affected two sales ratios instead of just one.
Okay.
I mean, it doesn't matter. It is what it is.
But it's not
only the person moving in here that's at fault.
Okay. So property taxes are what they are right now. Our legislature did not manage to get through and agree on, you know, a kind of a significant fix. There's a very small band of relief for some people who fall into a very narrow band, but that is still, that was something that the legislature still did not manage to fix this year, and it remains on the table. What do you think? Can anybody do anything at all about their property tax this year, or that is now
a
closed door?
It's a closed door for this year. I mean, yeah, there's nothing past our appeal period. It's past legislation. I mean, they can't pass any new laws that I know of. I mean, I don't follow legislation that close, but I don't believe they can. You know, they can't change anything now.
So, if people have an issue, it's probably the only place that they can go now is not come to your desk, but to go to your legislator and ask them to, you know, really affect some change.
You know, they had, I think there was 21 bills or something like that last year that basically failed. The only bill that they did pass was, so in 2 years they have the opportunity to vote. We have the opportunity to vote to see if we want to make a separate group for residential homes. Fine. I mean, I think it's a good thing. It's not going to change anything. It has the potential to make it where they can change something, but it's not a
short-term relief is not
short-term relief
is not an option.
No, because as long as we're called fair market value, they have to change that before we can change it, anything. Now, there's a few things they can still do, which they failed. The homestead exemption law. I mean, the Assessors Association supported one of those. It needed some different language in it, but practically every other state has the homestead exemption. My mother-in-law lives in South Carolina, and she gets, I think, $200,000 off of her value. She's over 75 years old, and she's been in the house for more than 10 years. They automatically reduce it by that much, the market value.
Okay. And I would remind listeners that 307.net Radio did interviews with both our representative Barry Crago and also Dave Kinski throughout the legislative session. And every week we asked about property tax, and the penultimate interviews with both of those, we addressed that specifically and tried to unpick where the legislature had failed. So fundamentally, to give property tax relief not only to Johnson County but to all Wyomingites, because it's not just Johnson County residents who are feeling the squeeze of this, although maybe the figures do show that Johnson County residents are actually being hit harder in their pocketbook than maybe in some other counties.
Yeah, I mean, I think that we're probably maybe in fifth place as far as Teton County is the biggest, which is a whole different deal. Mm-hmm. Lincoln County has been hit hard because they have Star Valley, and Star Valley has now been, you know, their houses are selling like Jackson practically. They also have a nuclear plant moving into Kimmerer, and so they're selling houses there for that. Park County, Cody area, people, you know, it's crazy. Their sales.
And Sheridan County, our neighbors to the north, too.
Yeah, they're higher than they are.
There is a huge amount of new building going on in Sheridan County. There are a number of subdivisions that are coming in, and, you know, that Jim Waller describes this, and again, we did a 307.net Radio interview with him. He describes the repopulating of this area as second homesteading, of a whole different type of homesteader, so to speak, who's coming into this area. But again, that's going to influence property prices.
Yes.
Okay. Well, Steve, is there anything else that you would like to say to people who are struggling with their property tax bill?
Well, I mean, it's unfortunate the way it is, but as long as people keep selling property for higher than what we have it appraised at, this is the result. Now, people ask me another question all the time. Can it ever go down? It's like, well, it can, but it has to go down the same way that it went up, and it has to be sales. If we have your house valued at the $150,000 mark now and it sells for $100,000, we're going to have a ratio that's above one.
Okay. So the only way that your property tax bill can go down is if sales get depressed, or if the property tax rate is in some way or other changed by the legislature.
Yeah, you know, there's several ways that hopefully they'll figure out something this year. I mean, The acquisition value, I don't have a real big problem with that. There's a few things. I don't think that should just stay at one level forever, but that would help. I mean, a lot of people want the people paying the big prices to pay the tax on it. Mm-hmm. Well, fair market value says that at some point we're going to get there, but then everybody else has to get there also. Acquisition value would stop that, but I don't think it should stay where it is. It should go up with the cost tables, or it should go up with the consumer price index, or I don't know. It needs to go up, even if it's a core acquisition price, somewhat, to keep up with inflation or whatever. And as long as there's inflation, as long as we're paying for services, if the services are more expensive, I don't see any reason or any way other than taxes going up to pay for that. I mean, I mean,
everything is more expensive than it was even just 2 years ago.
Right.
And some of that is COVID, and some of it is other kind of global inflation, maybe related to COVID as well. But there is no simple answer, and there is no simple fix. Many people have their own opinion about what should or could be done, but at the moment we're still in an unresolved place on all of that. Steve, thank you very much indeed for your perspective from the Johnson County Assessor's Office on property tax, and for informing us about what it is, how it is, and why it is the level that it is right now. And let's hope that there will be some solution, because I think everybody feels this.
Yes, I do. I hope there is too.
Thank you so much for your day.